What if there was no forgiveness? Ever. What if there was no forgiveness? What if you couldn't forgive anybody and nobody forgave you? What if Christ was hanging on the cross and he didn't say, as he was looking out upon the people, cursing at him, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do"? What about Stephen as he was being stoned? He said, "Forgive them for what they do." It's because of God's example of forgiveness and the grace that has been shed in our lives, in your life and my life, that we need to be forgiving. Amen? God's Word has a way of piercing our hearts, separating that sinew from bone, piercing that stony part of our hearts, and bringing that heart of flesh that only God can bring forth. Amen? We're going to delve into the Word here. We're going to look at the first over the next 3 weeks. This grace thing has really been powerful, and I'm really thankful for the other elders, Mike, Dave, and Randy. We really pray for God's will every time any one of us gets up here. We want God to speak. And the grace theme has really been predominant, and it's always easier when we get out of the driver's seat and let God take control. It makes the preaching and teaching so much easier, and I'm thankful for that this morning. And we're going to look over the next 3 weeks at the first two chapters of Ephesians. I have broken them up into three different sections. We're going to go over them. We're going to have a little special guest each week and tell us a little bit about the impact of grace in their lives, because that's what it comes down to. The book of Ephesians, real quickly, I'll sum this up, is written around 60 AD. And Paul was on his third missionary journey, and he stayed there to help strengthen and mold the ministry more by God's leading. And when he left there, he left Timothy and Silas behind to stay there and continue the teaching and preaching of the Word, also to defend the gospel against the false teachings that have prevailed since time immemorial. Amen? But the book of Ephesians in itself, it declares our Christians' position, identity, and unity in Christ. Our position, our identity, and unity in Christ. And we're really going to look at the impact of grace in our life, your life, and what God has done for us. Amen? So let's just jump right in here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to stop right there. Every one of Paul's epistles, all 13 of them, letters, if you will, the introductions have grace and peace to you. The Hebrew word, we probably all know it, for peace is shalom. It's not only a greeting, hello, and goodbye, but it's also a statement of wish, a desire for your heart, for that person you're saying that to, for total well-being. And here in church times, total well-being means Christ is with you. Amen? Amen. But every one of Paul's letters, he says, grace and peace to you. Whether he's talking to an individual, whether it's Timothy, or the churches at Corinth or Ephesus. And he was really laying down the fact that his desire, more importantly, God's desire, is that God's will for our lives is his peace and grace be in it. Regardless, when you sum up what his letters are saying, regardless of our suffering, regardless of our condition, it's God's will for you to have peace and grace. We can find that a little hard to contemplate at times, but that is God's will for your life, because he understands suffering. He understands need, desire in the human condition. It's nothing outside of his wondrous, unfathomable imagination. He understands every element of the human condition. And his desire is for his grace to be in your life. Amen? Dave's theme in April was grace. We're going to continue that because it is an amazing subject. It is an amazing, and God has nothing. When we delve into God's Word, it's like, God has written this love letter, and a lot of times, the God of the universe that created. Val and I were driving about a week ago, and I was sharing this with Steve Sherrill earlier, looking at his awesome photo. Could you raise the screen for a second, guys? And we were looking at this incredible sunset. The cloud line was going away, and the sun was the bottom half of the sun. Usually when there's a sunset, you see the top, it fades down. Well, there was a separation between the ground and the clouds, and the sun was coming out, so it was the bottom. And Val and I were talking, and I was telling Steve, I says, can you imagine if God gave you the responsibility and said, okay, you're going to design the sky every day. All around the world, every day. And here's the catch. It's got to be different every day. You can't do the same thing twice. There has not been a sunrise that has been the same. There has not been a cloud formation. There has not been the sunlight shining off the moon. There has not been a sunset that has been identical to everyone. You know what? I'd run out of ideas on about day three. And I think the smartest guy on the planet would run out of maybe day five. God says, oh, you use that one. That's how incredible our God is. That's how incredible He is. And that's just His creation that He loves. I shared last time at the chapel. Do you know, if you took all the bugs, how many people are a big fan of bugs? Like this, you're sitting on the couch and maybe one goes crawling across your arm. Are you a big fan? Neither am I. I love spiders. I just don't want them on me. If you took all the bugs off the planet, after a couple months, everything would die. If you took the oxygen out of the atmosphere, eventually everything would die. If you took man off the planet, everything would be just fine. The earth and creation was made by God's hand for mankind. And it's by God's grace that He sustains everything. What is grace? Can anybody define grace in a quick second? Being given something, Dave Hyatt says, Sir Dave Hyatt, as I referred to him this morning. I was going to bring my practice katana and knight him, just for the heck of it. But being given something we don't deserve. Grace, the unmerited favor of God. Boy Scouts, an incredible organization. Just like any other organization on the planet that claims any kind of biblical center is under attack from the enemy. But that's the way of this world. But when you're a Boy Scout, and I was not, you earn merit badges. If you get enough merit badges and you go through years enough, you become an Eagle Scout. Grace is one of those things. It doesn't matter how many senior citizens you help across the street. You will not earn your way to heaven. You cannot earn your merit badge to heaven. It is absolutely impossible. It is all by God's hand, God's power, God's might, God's spirit that we even have access back to Him. Amen? Since the fall in the Garden of Eden, man has been reaching up and saying, oh, we need to reach God, we need to reach God, while all the time God is reaching down saying, here I am. A really cool acronym, I'm sure you probably heard it, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Let's move on here in Ephesians. Jump over to verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Now there's a few words here. Chosen, predestined, adopted, that I have absolutely no intention of driving down that road. Because denominations have split because of their interpretation of what is predestination, what is being chosen, how does that work with the will of God. We are not having a systematic theology class this morning. You can thank me later. But I will steer you toward this scripture, 2 Peter 3:9. We do not have it on the board. 2 Peter 3:9. I like the King James, but I did not bring my King James version this morning, but that's okay. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I can sum up those big theological terms as this. God has not put a stop to the age of grace yet, because it is His desire that all come to repentance. We heard the parable skit about forgiveness. You have to repent. You have to turn away from what you are doing, and you need to be forgiven. You need to forgive because the Lord has forgiven you, I pray this morning. With repentance comes forgiveness. With forgiveness becomes restoration. With restoration means your relationship with the Almighty God through Lord Jesus Christ has been restored. Through Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus. Got it? That closes that class. Verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Life as we know it will not go on forever. Eventually God is going to say, that's it. It's time to line up the sheep and the goats, separate the tare and the wheat. But it's all about Christ and His grace. His offering. God does not discriminate against anyone. He wants to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head. It has been His will that the grace and the impact of His grace would rock your world to the point where your stony heart is broken, and you understand that the God of creation, the God of salvation, the God of forgiveness is holding His hand out, is running after His prodigal son or daughter with a robe and a ring and a pair of sandals. Has this grace impacted you this morning? If not, we need to talk. But right now I'm going to invite a brother, a dear brother of ours here, Fred Torres, is going to come up and give a little bit of his testimony and share what the impact of grace has been in his life. Come on, Freddie. Just grab one. Just grab one, man.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day. God is great, right? He has blessed me many, many times because I'm still alive. He has work for me to do, believe me. And I have a testimony that I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. And I love everyone like my neighbors. I wish to treat them like I would be treated. And I love that. And it's all about love, brothers and sisters. It is all about love. And I'm blessed because I'm a minister now. I'm able to pass the word and spread the seeds out. And I've had blessings for that. God has always blessed me. Back in the days, I wouldn't care about anybody else at all. It was just about me. Only me. And what I could get from somebody else. And what I could do to somebody and get away with it. But I've changed that. In 2006, I found the Lord. And He brought me to this church, this congregation, and other places. I work as a chaplain. I work at the Pregnancy Information Center. God's blessing with that. I work with youth. I work with the dads program there. I'm in the CMA. I work with the youth there. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing because our youth are the ones that's going to bring God forward when we're gone.
Amen.
And that's what we have to understand. It's all about love. As it says in Luke 10, verse 25, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what it's about, love. Love that Jesus Christ laid His life on the line to forgive us our sins so we may have eternal life. Man, that's where we're going to go, to heaven. There's no choice to make. The devil's over here, I can give you all this. No, you can't. Well, you can on earth, because that's worldly things. But the outcome, the lake of fire, that's the result now of eternal life. I don't want that. I want the streets of gold. I want that mansion. I want to walk into those pearly gates. The life to live in heaven is the best of everything. God gives you that. He doesn't force you to follow Him. He didn't force me. I turned to Him and I asked Him, please, Lord, I need something better in my life. What am I going to do? And I got an email. Become an ordained minister. Okay. And I looked that up and I got into a good college and it was a great thing. But it's not those credentials that you need. You just need that heart to get out there and ask God, let me be ordained. Let me get out and preach the word about it. Let me spread seeds. That's what I need to do. And I've done it. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for this wonderful warehouse church that gave me an opportunity to preach at Wayside for those guys over there. They need it. They need it. And I go there constantly, and I just love those guys. I know the people here. My sister's church at Valley Baptist, you know, there's a good place too. But just going out and helping people, and that's what I look for. God has blessed me. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. A lot of you guys might have heard the term worldview. And either you have a biblical worldview or you have some other worldview. And more than likely, without getting too extravagant into that, if it's another worldview, it's somehow centered around something abstractly evolutionary. And if you have any kind of worldview that's other than biblical, then you're putting your trust and your hope into materials, resources, and people. If you have a biblical worldview, then you understand from a perspective of Christ-centered, Bible-believing, that it's Christ who made the promise, Christ who has fulfilled the promise, Christ who is fulfilling the promise even this morning, and has that plan throughout eternity. Not just for that 80, 90 years that you hope to live, but for billions and trillions. After a trillion years, there will still be no end. In 100 years where your life is at right now, what will it matter? What will it matter if you're not going to be with Christ in heaven? What will it matter? Let's jump into verse 11 here in Ephesians 1. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. Let me stop right there. It's God's desire for His will to be done in every person's life. The angels are not robots. They do not sit around cackling on some looping circuit, or whatever how their technology would be, or whatever they call that now, digitally. Praise God, praise God, praise God. They don't do it automatically because they're told to. And God desires not people to be automatons to say, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. No, what He wants is a broken heart in complete submission and surrender to the One who has died for your sins and my sins. So that when you have a life of praise, it is real praise. Our God is a jealous God. And nobody wants fake schmoozing. Nobody wants a sales pitch. We get guys coming knocking on our door all the time. I tell my wife, I don't know whether to hit them with the Bible or kick them in the hiney and tell them to go. It's like, dude, no solicitors. That means you. But while you're here, it's God's will. And there'll come a point in your and my life to where we will stand before God. And we will either confess, Lord, your will be done, or I'm telling you guys, God will say, your will be done. I gave you every opportunity. I had did this, did that, evangelism, creation itself, people coming and telling you, and you didn't listen because it's all about you. And God will say, and it'll break his heart every time it happens. Heaven rejoices every time a sinner repents. But the flip side of that is God's heart is broken when a sinner dies and does not confess Jesus Christ as Lord before his life comes to an end. God's grace has been shared with us, like Randy said earlier. God's grace has been shared with us. It is our job and the burden, I say that delicately because it is a burden, but it is a gracious burden to be the purveyors of grace to the people around us. Fred brought his neighbor today, Raphael. Don't know, say, first time comer here again. I'm sure he raised his hand earlier. Who's your neighbor? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is the application, that is the impact of grace in your life. That is the impact of grace. In order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. Verse 13. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. How many extended warranties have you bought that you've needed for some of the technological stuff that goes that breaks? How many ads have you seen? You know, 30 years ago, Maytags, they used to have like a 25-year warranty thing. This other company's offer lifetime because it's guaranteed to break. How many promises have been made to you and you have made that were broken that you feel bad about this morning or might have some hard feelings toward? You heard the parable skit. Yeah. Forgiveness. Because you have been forgiven much. And if you do not recognize how much you've been forgiven, you need Christ in your life this morning. You need to be marked with the seal. We grow one day closer to Christ's return. We grow one day closer, as those great metaphor guys from Pink Floyd said, one day closer to death. One way or another, we will all stand before God. And the awesome thing about God's promise is He backs it up. He backs it up. I was sharing with a guy at work. And he's like, why should I believe the Bible? I said, so you want to know why? Because 1,000 years before Christ was born, David wrote in Psalm 22 all about the crucifixion. When the crucifixion wasn't even around yet. 700 years before Christ, Isaiah in chapter 53 told all about the beatings and stuff that and the suffering that Christ would endure as a lamb to the slaughter. Daniel wrote a couple hundred years before Christ that the Messiah would be cut off in so many days. And it all came true because the Word of God is the Word of God. I say this almost every time I preach. There are many small case holy books. There is only one Word of God. There is no other religious book on the planet that has guaranteed, verified prophecy. That's what separates God's Word from everything else, because God tells us, I reveal the end from the beginning. I tell you this so you'll know that I am a living God. I am not a guitar that you covet. I am not a little green thing with George Washington's picture on it that you covet. I am not that fancy new car that you may or may not covet. But I'm the living God, he says. And when we put our trust in him, we are marked with the Holy Spirit. Bethel, the house of God. Guaranteed. There is nobody else on the planet that can guarantee you that. Christ himself came, fulfilled over 200 prophecies, over 300 if you look at them from the everything that had involved with his coming to earth, but personally fulfilled over 200. Personally! I couldn't fulfill a prophecy tomorrow if I wrote it today. Because if I says I'm going to wake up and go to work, God might have another plan. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Earlier in the chapter, it talks about, I'm going to jump back here, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 12. I'm going to close with that, guys. Ron has a Beamer. I love Beamers. And I really like his Beamer. He won't let me drive it. I haven't asked him. But look at the stuff that we claim to be valuable. And here Christ says every spiritual blessing, material blessings break, fade, rust, and disappear. They turn to dust. Real riches. Real riches. Let me jump over here to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. However, as it is written, Paul says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. You can't earn your merit badge from God. You can't go to Bible studies your whole life and please God. You know why he looks at you and he's pleased? Because he sees the blood of Christ on you. And if you do not have that blood of Christ, his heart is broken, waiting for you to come to repentance, waiting for you to ask for forgiveness from the living God. I plead with you guys this morning, those of you who may not have made that commitment, today is the day of your salvation. We're not talking churchianity, we're talking Christianity, true Christianity, relationship with the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, and dwelled with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray, guys. Father, I just thank you for, once again, for all the moms here. Downstairs, upstairs, throughout the world, Lord. Your blessing on my brothers and sisters. Your blessing on the children, Lord. Let your Spirit search each and every one of our hearts and convict us in the area that we need convicting. Let us have more and more revelation of who you are by your Spirit, Lord. Let us recognize each and every day a day of grace and the forgiveness that has been imparted to us. Let's leave today changed by your grace, by your Spirit, by your death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, mighty God. It is you who are deserving of all praise, honor, and glory and power. It is you who have saved us from our sin. It is you that rose again and declared victory over death. In your precious name we thank you, Lord. Amen.